Today, what's on the credit cards? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined again by Steve from Canstar. Hi, Steve.
G'day, Martin.
How are you going?
Terrific, thank you.
Good. Another sunny day here in Sydney. And I thought we should have a conversation about credit cards because we cover them very briefly in one of our earlier shows, but there is a whole lot more to explore here, right? Not least, interest rates are very high on credit cards, not least some people revolve and some people don't revolve, and some people collect points and some people don't collect points. And So many people are on the wrong cards, aren't they?
That's the real issue, Martin. And I love talking about credit cards because one of my bugbears in finance is people being in the wrong card.
Yep. Perhaps a little bit of misunderstanding about the way the cards work, or maybe it's just apathy. We discussed the apathy tax the other day, and there's a bit of that going on here as well.
Oh, there is, Martin, but it's, I think it's more misunderstanding. People are beguiled by overseas flights and all those fancy rewards and think, oh, this, I've got to be in this. Now, most people are fine with that, or half of people are fine with that, but plenty aren't. Yeah. And I always say to people when they say, what sort of card should I buy? I say, well, what sort of person are you? And if you're the sort of person that is going to leave debt on a card, don't worry about rewards. They will never compensate you for the extra interest you pay because the average interest rate on a rewards card is up over 19%. On other cards, it's down 15, 16, 14%. So you're paying much more. And you can't afford it. You'll never be compensated for paying 16, 17% on a credit card when you've got debt by earning rewards.
Yeah, and that is the point, isn't it? So some people, I think, sort of disconnect the rewards from the rest of the card. The fact is, if you pay your card off every month and you never, ever pay interest, then you can look at those other opportunities, particularly rewards programs, although there the earn ratio has gone through the floor, so you have to spend a whole lot more just to get a few rewards than you did previously, right? But if you are revolving, you know, even not permanently, but sometime through the year, then the fees that you incur on the interest payments completely blow away any of the other benefits you might or might not get if you choose to use those points.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You'll never catch them up. Yeah. I say to people, what do you worry about first with the credit card? And they say, oh, the interest rate. And I say to them, well, are you revolving debt? Are you carrying debt on your card? Mm. And they say, oh, no, I never do that. I said, what do you care? For people like that, you think about the rewards and the annual fee. The annual fee can add up too, but you think about the rewards there and say, will I earn more in rewards than I pay an annual fee? Well, happy days. But if you're revolving debt, if you're paying interest, they get it. Get into a low-rate card, plenty of cards up around 10-11%. That's high compared to home loans, but it's still 10 or 11 compared to 19% on rewards cards.
Yeah. And I suppose the other point to make is that if you are somebody who is reliant on continuous debt to, if you'd like, pay for your lifestyle, then you might want to consider a structured loan which will be at a lower rate of interest even than the credit card interest rate. Cut your card up and then just pay off the debt.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that I say to people is, look, if you habitually spend more than you actually earn and the rest goes onto a credit card, then you shouldn't have a credit card. Yeah. The issue isn't the credit card. It's you. It's your spending habits. You've got to stop spending money on stuff you don't need. It's a simple thing to say. Some people find it really tricky, but you can't keep doing it. You go further and further behind. Yeah. Balance transfers are a great way to get out of debt as well. But, boy, are they a trap as well. So, you know, you've got to be careful with them because a balance transfer gives you zero for, you know, 24, 30 months, zero interest rate. Now, you might pay a few fees, but so what's the fees? But the trick with those is that if you keep spending on the card, then that bit that you spend incurs interest. You don't get zero for that. You're paying your 15, 19% on that, so that your repayments as you go they go towards that debt first, but it means that you don't actually get the debt down that you took out the BT for, the balance transfer for. So my advice with balance transfer is, great deal, take it out. If you owe $5,000 on your card, divided by the 24 months, they're interest-free, set up a direct debit and set up the repayment. Pick up the card, the bit of plastic that came in the mail, and put it in the freezer and go cold turkey on spending. That's what you've got to do. That's the way to deal with balance transfer. Great product if you do that with it. Not a great product if you keep spending.
Yeah, and that's the point, of course, because they sort of, you know, make it too easy to spend again, right? Really, a balance transfer like that is a structured personal loan, isn't it? Really, that's what it really is. And in fact, if you start using it, you're going to be incurring that much higher interest cost. Yeah. If you don't actually put more transaction on it, then you can actually get zero for a couple of years, which is actually quite good value. But the danger then is if you actually do that, but then actually have another card and start putting debt on that as well, you can end up effectively trying to manage both of them too. So you have to be quite cautious.
Exactly. And you're only taking out balance transfer because you've got a debt problem.
Yeah.
And the answer to a debt problem is always ultimately spend less than you're earning. And that's, people don't get that, but that's the issue. The issue is your spending behavior. So you just can't let it, you can't not address that. Nothing will work if you don't address that.
Right. And for those people who are actually, you know, pretty much permanent revolvers, is there much variation in the interest rate charged for cards from, you know, the big banks versus the small guys versus the non-banks?
Yeah, look, all of the banks have a reasonable rate somewhere. You can get away with rates below 10%. The lowest rate is something like 7.9%, 7.99%. But then you've got quite a few cards below 10, a much bigger number below 11. Almost all the big guys have a credit card below 13%, and they almost all have a credit card around 20%. Now, a lot of people are in the 20% card and are paying debt. So they're just and the bank isn't going to them and saying, look, get out of that and do this. They're saying, well, happy days. You know, who's the most profitable customer in a credit card portfolio? It's the person carrying debt all the time who eventually repays, so you don't write off the debt, and they're on a high rate. And why do banks offer 0% BT? To attract customers that are carrying debt and intend to repay it, but end up on a high interest rate at the end of it because they haven't repaid all the debt. So, you know, the banks aren't charities and they know how to make money out of it.
Yeah. And of course, the point there is that those interest rates have not come down at all, despite the fact that the cash rate has dropped dramatically over recent years. You know, the rates are still where they were pretty much.
Yeah, they are. I looked at it from the beginning of this year through to now, and home loan rates have come down around on average, 0.4%, but at the lower end of the market, down by around 0.7%, the minimum rates. The actual non-rewards credit card average rate has gone up a little bit, about 0.16. The rate for rewards cards has moved. But since the GFC, the cash rate, the Reserve Bank cash rate, came down 7%. Rewards cards stayed nice and level like that and hardly moved at all. So they haven't fallen, even though market interest rates have come down around 7%.
Yeah, and you'd actually argue that the banks are using the credit cards to help support their profitability as they fight for mortgages. And, we discussed last time the lack of deposit interest rates. But, you know, the credit cards is part of the story in terms of actually bank profitability.
It absolutely is. I mean, the penetration of credit cards in the customer base is huge. They encourage it with packaging up of loans with credit cards. They earn money on the whole portfolio. They manage their margins on the whole portfolio. And home loans are where they've got a giveaway margin at the moment. They've got to make it back somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there's another little catch for the unwary, and that is if you revolve occasionally and then you go to pay off the balance on the card, you actually don't end up zeroing the interest until the following month because of the way that the card actually works, and people get caught out on that quite often, don't they?
Yeah, even if you get it to zero, but if you don't get it to zero at the right time of the month, then you're deemed not to get an interest-free period, which means you incur interest from the day you make a purchase. Yeah. So yeah, you've got to get it to zero, and then it's tricky, and they all work out their interest a little bit differently. There are three or four different models for it, but yes, you can find that it takes you a month to catch up.
So, Steve, one of the observations I have is that the total amount of debt on credit cards has dropped dramatically over the last couple of years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. Look, a couple of years ago, it was around $32 billion. That's a big number, but now it's down to about $28 billion. So it is falling quite quickly. Plus, business is being lost to the buy now, pay later schemes. And I guess, thirdly, interchange. That's the money that the merchant pays to their bank, who pays it then to the issuing bank, the bank that issues you a card, has been regulated down by the Reserve Bank. So there's a real squeeze on, you know, less debt that's earning interest, less interchange income, fewer cards. So there's a squeeze on profitability. And that's another reason why rates haven't come down, why interest rates haven't come down. A smaller pool of people is funding the rest of it.
Yeah, and that's the point, isn't it? If you are revolving on your card, you're basically covering the costs of everybody else who isn't.
Exactly. Interest income is still the biggest profit line, the biggest revenue line for credit cards. And if the average debt comes down, the interest rate card or the bank has to find another way of making some money.
Mm. And I guess one last question here is there any difference of behaviour between young people and older people in terms of their use of credit cards or the types of cards they go for?
Yeah, well, we're seeing younger people going for Afterpay and you know, other buy now, pay later programs now. Mm. So that's, I think, the major difference. Now, younger people also have started to get the message that credit cards can get them into trouble. You know, they're seeing a lot of friends who are in trouble with credit cards before they really even start their financial journey in life. So they've seen a fair bit of that, and they're saying, look, we don't want credit cards. Now, the fact is that buy now, pay later has exactly the same traps for people that credit cards do. They both encourage spending. They both have controls over your spending in that one has a credit card limit and the other one has, well, if you're in arrears on your payment, you won't get further access. They both spread your payments over a period of time, and they both can be very cost-effective solutions to short-term transactions and other short-term funding. But the minute you miss payments, the minute you lose control of your debt, you're up for massive costs. So buy now, pay later, you're up for very, very high penalty costs if you let the arrears run, and you can get up to a very high effective interest rate that way. Likewise, credit cards are expensive debt. So they're very similar. And we're seeing a lot of young people who move to buy now, pay later, hopefully with more discipline than the half a generation ahead of them or even our generation, to be honest, quite frankly. So that's the behaviour. I think older people tend to say, look, we see credit cards as a more safe product. And we did a survey not too long back where that was the outcome. They said credit cards were less dangerous financially than buy now, pay later. But I think that's a familiarity thing.
Yeah, I think that's right. My surveys, I look at usage of different types of card, and buy now, pay later, definitely booming. And unfortunately, about a quarter of the people in my surveys got caught with those high late fees.
Yeah.
Remarkably high. And also, a lot of older people still have multiple credit cards and still carry debts on those credit cards, despite the fact they have money sitting in the bank elsewhere. I've never quite figured that out, because I would have thought it would be much better to actually get rid of those credit cards, pay off the debt, and, you know, go debt-free. But maybe I'm just old-fashioned.
Oh, yeah. Look, let's pay the bank 14% on this card, and they'll pay us 0.25% on our deposit. It's a great, great way for the bank to make money and you to go bust.
Yeah, I mean, again, who's winning? It's not the individuals. It's the banks, unfortunately. Yeah. And look, the one last point I wanted to touch on was, if you want to use, a credit card purely for making transactions, right? You can use a debit card, right? Now, the difference between a debit card and a credit card is a debit card taps your own funds rather than a line of credit that you have to pay back. But if you do have money in the bank, actually a debit card is a much cheaper way of, basically paying for your goods, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is, but then you don't get rewards with most debit cards.
That's true.
And if you are the sort of person that repays your card in full every month, The rewards are great. The other thing is that it doesn't give you that sort of ability to really sort of save for a month and then pay it off. You're sort of paying instantly. Now, I'm a big believer in debit cards for people who struggle with credit cards. And it's always my advice, look, you spend your own money, not the bank's money, and you don't get in trouble doing that. But credit cards still are worthwhile. You've got your salary paid at the end of the month or something, and it can suit the billing period that you're on with your credit card. So, they're slightly different needs, but they are reasonably close substitutes.
Yeah, I think that's the point. Again, it's worth learning just a little bit more about them. Now, of course, Canstar has a whole long list of different providers with different cards, so you can actually go online and have a look at the different ones and figure out whether you are a revolver, whether you're not a revolver, and therefore, whether rewards are important or aren't important. And I would say to everybody, check what your interest rate on your current card is, make some checks with regard to what's available, and switch if you can find something cheaper.
Absolutely. And look, the first question is, you don't have to do all the soul searching to understand who you are and what you are. All you've got to do is answer the questions on our selector, which says, how much do you spend every month and how much do you leave on your card? Now, if you answer those two questions, we do the analysis of our credit cards, and there are hundreds of them. We do the analysis of these credit cards based on those criteria. So we're finding a card that suits your needs. And we'll put you into a low rate card if you've got debt. If you're paying it off in full, you can go for flight rewards or whatever you want. But we go through that process.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's not really that painful. It's worth doing. It's yet another way of saving money, which in the current environment is definitely worthwhile.
Yeah, and getting out of trouble financially. I see these people who the years struggle. And their credit card debt is really bad debt. It's not debt that's helping them long term. So it's actually accidental debt, which is even worse, because they actually haven't said. They haven't sat down and said, I think I'll go and get a loan. They haven't. They've just spent money and found themselves with a debt. So I hate to see people under that burden for 5-10 years of their life. You've got to get out from under that before you start getting ahead.
Yeah, Steve, that's great advice once again. Thank you very much for your time. And let's hope we've saved people a few dollars in the conversation.
Sure hope so.
See you next time. Thanks for that.
Bye. Cheers.
Bye.